B-Pod Studios.
All right, guys, in fairness, let's play the entire Brett sound so, you know, you can hear right from him.
Do you think playing the All-Star game affected him?
I don't. I really don't. I think we'd all be making a mistake, and it's a natural dot connector, and it shouldn't be to think that had anything to do with it. In fact, like, when you speak to the medical people, one of the things that at times exacerbates it is time off. You know, to keep your core, your quads, et cetera, strong, and just try to have some level of, you know, maintenance is really in a prescribed area, their recommended area. And maybe time off actually did more harm than good. But the bottom line is, nobody needs to read into anything here. This is an NBA athlete, you know, that has some soreness in a knee, that has had an MRI. And we all should move on. We'll miss him, obviously, playing wise, but it's not anything that isn't completely pointed toward keeping him ready, and especially ready when it matters most at the end of the year.
Couple mistakes out of that. We should all move on. You don't get the benefit of the doubt. Sorry, you don't get the benefit of the doubt right now to move on. We've been through this before. So this, like, move on thing, no. We've been through this before with that particular NBA athlete. And as far as connect the dots, how? And then you go, well, you know, it's really rest is the problem. So he's not going to play for a week. What are you talking about, man? Like, it unnerves you. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be frustrated. But I am. Oh, Matt in Pottstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matty.
Hey, Ann, how you doing?
Hey, Matt.
I definitely don't use the term relax in this instance at all. But I do, I don't know, maybe I've sort of conditioned myself to this based on all, you know, the previous things with the Sixers and with JoJo in particular, and even the things with the Eagles and Carson. So you sort of condition yourself to it. I'm not saying relax, but I'm also not hitting the panic. I'm not hitting the panic button at this point. I honestly feel, I mean, the thing that bothers me about that rest thing, but then you're going to prescribe rest, it's a different type of thing. You're talking more of a therapeutic type activity as opposed to the high impact of an actual game. So I kind of see that from a medical standpoint. But to me, again, you know, there's three pieces here, but two main factors. And I think the least of all of them is really Brett Brown. The two main factors is, number one, JoJo is his own worst enemy and always will be. And I sort of like reserved myself to that. Just based on his demeanor, his attitude, the things that he does, and everyone's talking about it. When he's tired out there banging threes, sort of demanding things his way, he sort of has the organization, not just Brett Brown. He has that organization in a certain way. And I don't find it far-fetched at all that, you know, prior to the All-Star game, we were seeing the thing about he's questionable, this and that. And then he has the incident where he jumps over with the tremendous hustle play, going for the ball.
Yeah, I thought of that, yeah.
He lands awkwardly, and now you're coming back. So I don't put that, you know, off the realm of possibility that that's where some of this comes from. Mm-hmm. But he sort of manipulates himself into playing into the All-Star game. I get that. We've also seen the organization do things and present things in ways that sort of puts the coach in a bad way. And we all know what Brett Brown is. We know the type of guy he is. We've heard Popovich. We've heard all the accolades. He is not the guy that is ever going to say wrong about the organization or something, even though he knows he may be the one that's been put in the bear trap, so to speak. He's not going to come out and say something negative against that. But here's the thing.
I would never tell him to be. There's no reason for him to come down and be negative in that sense. My only fear is, like, you got to allay my fears, right? Like, don't tell me, like, don't connect the dots. Like,
exactly.
I'm sorry. That's the thing
there, like how he words things sometimes, you know, I question. But here's the last two pieces that I have with this. It's that, you know, we talk about Brett Brown, we talk about this organization, we talk about the millennial type roster that we have. The Sixers are in a window. What's out there? Are you going to get PJ Carlissimo? You have Brett Brown. The only other guy that could actually come in here and I think have an impact is a guy who's not even an option, and that would be Jay Wright. And yeah. I agree the last thing that you were talking about, when you start looking back in history of the NBA, you look at guys from the 90s and stuff, like a lot of things you see guys
it's a great argument that you present. It really, really is. I had the same argument or the same conversation with a buddy of mine from Sports Illustrated last week, and we talked about, because Brett's greatest attribute is that those guys respond to him, right?
Yes, they do. And I don't think the other people will. And when you talk about...
Okay, real quick. The only thing, Maddie, is he's got to get over the strategic thing then.
Yes, I agree with you. That's the thing that bothers me big time, especially against Boston. We see it constantly. But when you I hate that term. That's the last part I want to go with. This term, load management, you never heard of it before. It has a whole different connotation when you start going back. You talk about the 90s, and when you talk about the days of Wilt, load management.
You can't even bring, that's prehistoric times, right, compared to today. I mean, I'm going back to, which is almost prehistoric. At least it's AD, and that's in the Jordan era, and even post, the Kobe era. Kobe wasn't, I mean, those guys, the bigs back then, we're talking 15 years ago. Those guys played.
Yeah, there's no load management.
And again, that's 15 years ago.
So since December 29th, Embiid's been on the injury report seven times. December 29th, he had a left knee soreness. Same thing that we're experiencing right now. He did not play on December 30th. On the 11th of January, he had an ankle injury. He missed the game versus the Hawks. On the 18th of January, he was on the injury report with the back, but he missed no games. Also with January 20th with the back, no games missed. On January 25th, they said rest, but come on, he probably had something going on. You don't just get put onto the injury report with rest. There was probably some sort of sore knee or a sore back or a sore ankle, but they put it down as rest. And then illness was one of them. I don't really add that to anything. And then left knee again, which is today.
Yeah. I mean, listen, one of the things, in fairness, and I'm trying to look at all sides here and forgive my frustration, in fairness, he's a special athlete. He's a specimen. When you're that big, you're going to be susceptible to injury. You are. You guys are helping me out, though. I appreciate it. I need more of it. 610-632-0975. I don't even know if the Harper thing's got me, the idea that the future's always going to be wrapped up in angst with Joe, if it's as a precursor to watching Carson and, every hit he takes. All right. Let me tell you about Parse Casino. We'll be there tonight, 6 o'clock, right after Mikey Miss. The sportsbook's outrageous. Right in the middle of Parse Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. It's got it all. The sharps, the first-time sports bettor, you name it. They make it easy to get your action. You can bet the spreads and parlays and teasers and props and much more right there. The NBA's back, right? So take a look at the games tonight. Sportsbook inside Parse Casino. What an oasis. All the action on the big screens, right in the middle of the casino, good beers, the whole thing. They have a bet slip builder app that lets you plot out all of your bets from anywhere with the latest odds. There's also sports betting kiosks throughout the casino where you can make your bets and print your tickets 24 hours a day. You can also place your sports bets on the way to the game at the South Philly Turf Club. That's right, on Packer Avenue, right near the stadiums. Sports betting now available at the South Philly Turf Club. Parks Casino, lots of food options. Liberty Bell Gastro Pub, Parks Grill Steakhouse, the beautiful new beer garden, Olivetto Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Noodle House, Chickies and Pete's. Bet with the best, the Sportsbook at Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. Must be 21, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. O'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Crazy night in college basketball last night. So Zion's sneaker explodes and he gets hurt 32 seconds into the game. Could you imagine Nike today? Could you get worse publicity? The number one player in college basketball gets hurt because your sneaker explodes.
And you know what happens after stuff like that happens? They go, well, has this ever happened before? So I saw a video on Twitter today of just other moments in NBA and college basketball where a shoe just blew up. And they actually had a Sixer out there.
Yes. How about that, Tony Rowan?
Tony Rowan had a wheel blow up one game courtesy of Nike. It's a tough day for him today.
It is. It's bad. That's such a horrible look. How in the world? The best player in the country.
Well, immediately you had NBA players saying, I forget which one it was, excuse me for, but he said, come over with me to Puma.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right away, I mean, that's the perfect response. Swoop in.
Hey, if you're somebody with Adidas or Reebok, you give them a call and say, hey, Zion, what up? Want a new deal?
Did you see it, too? Like, that sneaker just, I was wild. Wild. And now you go, like, all right, does the kid come back and play? You got 5 games left before the tournament. You have the ACC tournament. Does he come back and play?
Listen, if I'm him, I'm out.
You shut it down?
I'm shutting it down.
Yeah, you know, assuming the doctors say, I didn't see any news yet, but assuming the doctors say he'll be all right, I think he's going to wind up playing. But you have an insurance policy that covers you. And as long as there's no structural damage, you play.
Listen, all I know is his name will be called either number one or number two in the NBA draft.
Number one. You see how...
Yeah.
Like, I love Barrett.
Me too.
I do. I love
That's
him.
Why it's a conversation to have.
However, it all depends on your need, but Zion's is the more dominant player. Look at them without him last night. So, did you watch any of the game?
Yeah. I watched pretty much the entire thing.
All right, me too. So, when you're watching Duke's offense, I mean, now again, it's tough. 30-some seconds into the game, you're losing your best player. But you see what kind of looks that they get when he's on the floor. He's not on the floor. You saw they were struggling to get good, clean looks.
Hey, how many times have you seen Cam Reddish have an open three this year?
Exactly. How many times did you see last night? Meh. You didn't see it. You didn't see it. You saw a lot of one-on-one. A lot of open shots. And Carolina. You know what's crazy about Carolina? Is if Duke hits a couple shots, they actually make that game a sweat. Did you see how sloppy they were with the basketball?
I hate that.
In the last 7 minutes of the game?
I hate this Luke May. He drives me insane. He reminds me of another Haron Goody or another... Who's the guy from UNC?
He's my buddy Boo. I was calling him Luke May last night.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got that, you know, that post-up. You know, that post-up.
He's a Hansborough. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. No, but did you see... Like, one of the things about Carolina is... Like you're up 17, and you're not working clock. You got to work clock. I think Roy Williams is the most overrated coach in the history of college basketball. I've always thought that. I've always thought he's the most overrated coach in the history of college basketball. I've always thought that of him. I'm looking at him going, like, how in the world? Why don't you take clock off? That's insane. Crazy night. So Villanova goes down to Georgetown. That's 3 losses in 4 games. So I was looking at bracketology, and our buddy Joe Lunardi, who does bracketology for ESPN, he had Villanova a couple days ago at 5 as a 5 seed. So they'll fall a little further. This is you had to expect that team, as young as they are. We had Jay on the other day, to go through a little bit of a rough patch. Now's the perfect time to go through it, though. You got to go through it. You go play the Big East tournament. You get yourself back, and then you try to get.
Let it all out now.
Yeah, you get on some kind of roll going into the tournament. But look, if Zion doesn't play, I mean, this whole thing's wide open. My Nevada team lost last night. The Must Bus. They got upset.
You were fired up about that last night. Yesterday,
I like the Must. No, it was a good night of college basketball. Listen, I'm desperate. Man, I need sports. I watched that, and I watched a movie, which I'm going to bring up in a little bit. But let me get back to the phones. Eddie in Southwest, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Eddie.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's going on, Eddie?
Not a thing. Hey, I'm where you are. I think continuity is huge. Going into the All-Star break, I didn't like Jimmy Butler's language, not his language, but his body language.
Uh-huh.
I mean, kind of sitting off in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like he had shots he passed up. I'm not sure whether he's happy. I wanted to see what Brett could do. And not having him beat on the floor doesn't make it any better at all. You know, I need all five of them out there getting shots and Brett actually coaching them up. Defense getting better. This right here, it does scare me, especially because of the pass.
It does. In all due respect, like, how do you not connect the dots?
I don't know, because if you're thinking, if any reasonable Sixers fan is thinking, it always starts with a week and reevaluation.
Yeah.
The week is only because they're waiting for some type of swelling to go down, maybe some time to give an MRI. And then you can really see what's going on. I don't know.
I know.
I don't want to think
I
like
know.
That.
I don't want to either, but you're right. Yeah. It's always been that. Like, you wait a week, and all of a sudden, a week turns into 2 weeks. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden, you're missing a window where this team can play together.
Right. And it is here quicker than we know it. 20-something games is nothing in the NBA.
I know.
It really is. It's nothing. And then, God forbid, if we play Boston the first round, I mean, sheesh.
Yeah. They were Celtic food. And look, and you see, look, this team's so different at home, right? Like, they need home court.
Right, right. That is a huge bonus for us when we play at home.
Yeah, really, man. That's so you got seedings, you got continuity, you got all kinds of things that's why you need them to play. Like, and you know what the problem was? You weren't expecting this to come out yesterday.
No.
I'm like, you know, it was All-Star break. And all of a sudden, you go, wow, out of the blue, comes out, he's out? And you're going, and he played? Why the hell's he playing?
Right. And here's the part that's really scaring me. They played the Knicks on, what, Wednesday, Tuesday last week?
Yeah.
And he played, what, 15, 20 minutes in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he almost had a week already.
I know.
He's already at a week. And then we're going to add another week. I'm not sure.
Me too. That's why when people tell me relax, I'm going, but look at this. How do you want me to relax?
They've been optimistic, and I'm glad there are people in the world like that. But this situation, I'm not sure.
I know. And listen, if it was anybody else, I wouldn't get a sweat. But it's Joe, man. We've seen this before with Joe.
Hey, we rise and fall with Joe.
I know. That's it. You can't win without him. Like, there's
no, you can't.
You can't win without him. That's it. Bottom line.
Nothing. Yep.
All right, Eddie. Thanks for making me feel worse.
Thanks,
no, take it easy. No, man, you and I see it the same way. You know, and Brett goes, move on. How can I move on? All right, we got to play with Adam. Okay, but you and I both know that playing with Adam doesn't mean anything. He makes everything go. Those guys got to fit around him. Like, that five needs to play. Like, you got to figure out how that five plays, man. Is that Keith right there? We got him. From the Inquirer. Philly.com, I love him. He's a great basketball man. Keith Pompey joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith!
What's good, man? What's good?
You got to talk me down, man. I'm too frustrated right now. I'm upset. I'm worried. I get overly worried with this stuff, Keith. And it's Joe again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried. And why is he playing? How can I connect the dots?
You know, it's funny. Like, I'm not mad at Joel for playing in the All-Star game. I mean, I'm not mad at him.
Right.
And the reason being is because he's going to do whatever he wants to do. He's a young guy. He wants to play. You know, but I think that, you know, someone had to tell him, like, look, dude, you know, I get it. You can go out there. You can do everything you want. But your knee is messed up and it's been messed up. You can't play. You understand? Like, you just can't because, you know, the optics just don't look good at all. When you think about it, you know, right now they're going to go up against Miami. Yes, they should beat Miami. But then you have the Hassan Whiteside, right?
Yeah.
And then they play them, and then after that, they go against Portland, who go up against the Nurkic guy, Yusuf Nurkic. And then after that, you have, you know, Anthony Davis, if he plays, and then you have, Jahlil Okafor. We all know about him, and people can say what they want about him, but they start the Twin Towers. So, you know, right now, these are three teams or three games that you want really Joel to play in and to thrive in. You know, he's the best player, or he'll be the best player on the floor in those games. But it's going to hurt them to not have him. You understand? So I just think that someone should have said, look, Joe, we love you. You're an all-star. But think about this. Just think about it.
Yeah, you got plenty of all-star games to play in. Like, we need exactly. you. We need you right now. See, to me, it's even less the opponent and more just the playing time with this group. Like, Tobias Harris, he needs to be integrated. You've already still needed to integrate Jimmy Butler, right? So now you got yeah. another, you get somebody else with Tobias. Like, this group needs to play and needs to play together, and he's got to figure this out for the playoffs.
You're right. You're right. And the thing about it is, you know, Jimmy, I'm expecting Jimmy Butler and Tobias to have great games, huge games. You know, Jimmy's going to get the green light. He's going to be the guy they're going to run through. So Jimmy's going to, you know.
Which is smart.
Which is smart, exactly. But like you said, you know, towards the end of the season and the playoffs, we have to see what they can do together. We have to see how are they going to incorporate all these guys to whereas they get, you know, someone's going to have to sacrifice, but to where they get comfortable in their roles. We're also want to see, like, how Jonathan Simmons is going to mix in when they do the stagger thing, the same thing with James Ennis. You know, so you're right. I mean, I know it's only a week, but at the same time, you know, the thing that scares you is that is this going to be something that's going to linger,
yes.
you know, from a couple weeks
ding,
from now?
Ding.
What about in the playoffs, you know?
Well, and that's it. We're talking to Keith Pompey, the Inquirer, great Sixer beat writer. And that's the thing that worries me, Keith, is that, like, I don't know it's going to be a week. I've heard week before. I heard reevaluation in a week, and I've experienced that. And what happened? It was 2 weeks, and it was 3 weeks. That's the thing that really makes me bug out.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I think in the past, you know, that's the problem with the Sixers. Like, until something comes up and like, there's definite. Now, I do believe that he'll probably be back in time for next Thursday's game against Oklahoma City.
Well, Westbrook,
that gives him a while. Yeah, Westbrook. But, you know, in the past, it's kind of like, I know that, you know, and the people there, like Patrick Reese and the PR staff, you know, they do the best job they can.
Oh, yeah.
And I know they're only going by what they're being told to say. And that's the information that they have at the time. But typically, like, when they come out with a date and it says a week, you know, most of the fan base is thinking, okay, didn't y'all say that before? And that's just something that, you know, after a while, they'll have to have these deadlines and they have to meet them. And after they meet them, then it'll go away. But initially, for the time being, it's going to be just like you said. Didn't you guys say that before?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're sitting here in your white-knuckle panic because – we all know one thing. It's great to get Tobias in here. It's great to have Jimmy Butler in here. It's great to have Ben. But you don't win anything. You don't get out of the East without the big fella.
Exactly. Now, I think they can win tonight. I think they'll win tonight. And I think they'll have their hands full without him Saturday against Portland. That's a bad matchup even when he plays. I think they'll beat New Orleans. But... So I think the Sixers will probably, you know, will go 2-1. So hopefully they can get them back and everything will be okay. But, you know, I just think that, you know, I mean, what is it, 24 games left. They have the ninth easiest schedule. They only play 10 teams with winning records during that stretch. So, I think they'll be fine. But like you said, from a continuity standpoint, getting guys together, you know, more familiar with each other. It is kind of a blow, but I think that they'll be fine.
All right, so Keith, well, I got you. What's your read on Jimmy and how happy he is here, you know, going forward beyond next year? How do you kind of see that thing?
You know, it's weird because, like, a lot of stuff could change. You know, I think that, you know, he came out and he said he's not happy with his role. You know, I think that once the playoffs come and it's going to become more of a half-court game, I think that we'll see more of Jimmy Butler. to the forefront. I think it will be more Jimmy Butler and Joel.
They need to run that through. Yeah, you're right. They need to run him as a point guard. Yeah.
Yeah. So if that happens and when it happens, I think that, and if the team has success, you know, I think that he's going to have to take a long, hard look at things and say, like, do I really want to leave? You know what I mean? Like, you know, do I really want to leave this? But if it's one of those things, and you can't really fault players. I know people say, come on, man, you got to sacrifice it for the team. But if it's one of those things where, you know, you've been a four-time All-Star, and next thing you know, you're trying to play basketball the right way, but you don't get the ball back in the return, you know, and then it's like, you know, the team is winning without you. Well, you know, you got a house in L.A. You know, there's going to be a lot of teams with a lot of cap space. You know, hey, maybe I could go elsewhere and be the man again. You know what I mean? And there'll maybe some teams that are going to be playoff teams. So it's tough, but I do believe if they get him involved and if he becomes that guy that we saw, you know, early on with the game winners and stuff like that, it'll be tough for him to leave Philadelphia.
All right, Keith, now we're talking to Keith Pompey from the Inquirer and Philly.com, who has covered the Sixers. Really good basketball, man. You're around them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you about Brett. And how do you feel right now, Brett, going forward? Because, you know, listen, you know he's a gentleman and he's a guy that's so rootable. And you want to see him get it done. Do you think he's, if I ask you, is he the guy that's going to get you to that next level?
See, that's a tough question to answer because I know a lot of people think he isn't. You know, for me, it's still like a wait and see.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm going to say that is because, you know what, like, whenever people thought that Brett Brown wasn't the guy or Brett Brown, hey, Brett Brown, you're going to have to show us what you can do. And B got injured, then Simmons was injured, someone else got hurt. You know what I mean? There was always, like, Markelle Fultz thing. So there was always problems. This is the first time that Brett Brown actually has a full roster that he can win with. And there's been certain times where Brett Brown made gambles that he normally wouldn't have made just because he didn't have confidence in some of the people on his bench, right?
Sure.
So, you know, so I think we'll learn a lot from Brett, you know, in this playoff series. You know, the unfortunate thing about being a coach, especially when you have this caliber of players now, you know, when you win, the players get all the credit.
I know. That's true.
When you lose, the coach has to go.
Yeah.
So it's like a lose-lose situation for him.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, unfortunately, like, that's the business, right? Like, so you kind of get it, but it doesn't make it fair. I guess the last thing for you, if you see, he's really good at, I think, communicating with young players. The strategy element, is he missing a piece on his bench? Like, I look at his defense sometimes, and, like, that half-matchup zone that gives up open shot after open shot, particularly against Boston, like, that thing's got to get tightened up. Can you make me feel at ease there?
Yeah, I think the more we see, you know, the one thing about Jonathan Simmons, you know, he's a quality perimeter defender. You know, James Ennis is also better than anyone else they had, you know. And I really like Mike Scott, but, you know, he's a post player. So I think the more that we see those two guys, you know, playing and getting acclimated to Brett Brown's system, I think that it will improve in that area. My question mark about the bench is, you know, who do you have in the perimeter that you know is just going to give you buckets?
Nah, I know.
Come in and give you buckets. And then also...
Now, you're missing a backup one that can shoot.
Well, you're missing that. But then here's another thing that they're missing. Like, what's going to happen is, you know, like, teams are going to seek out, like, J.J. Redick, other guys on the defensive end, try to post them up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just how are you going to, you know, camouflage.
Yeah, but you're not the first team that's had a liability guy on defense. They, you know, that's where help defense. You got a rim protector. Even if they, you know, I mean, you're going to have guys try to draw Joe out when he gets back, but you got to figure out a way where you can get him close to the basket and help out and protect the rim while, when they try to post up JJ.
true, but that's a concern. I mean, it just seems like, you know, Boston, it was like guys were just saying, hey, let me do it. You know, let me get them. So we'll just see it. But I think that Jonathan Simmons and James Ennis are going to help him out a little bit, but specifically Jonathan Simmons. I mean, that's going to be his role. But, you know, like I said, you know, you're going to have some other holes. Like, you need a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that's going to give you buckets.
I feel you, bro. Listen, Keith, always a pleasure. All right? Always great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Always a pleasure, my brother. Keith Pompey from the Inquirer, Philly.com. We'll come back. And listen, you don't want to miss it because John Morosi, who covers baseball for Fox, has something very interesting to say. I think we're going to like it. That's next, so you don't want to miss it. It's a midday show. I'm Cuz, and let's talk about the union. Yeah, love the union. Gearing up for the start of the 2019 MLS campaign. We're only a couple weeks away from the home opener at Talen Energy Stadium, Saturday, March 2nd, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Boys in Blue look to start off strong in their 10th anniversary season against Toronto FC. That's right, 10th anniversary. Union coming off their best season ever after an MLS Cup playoff run in the fall, setting records for both wins and points in the season. New sporting director Ernst Tanner has been on the new signing trail. So here's what they got. World Cup superstar Marco Fabian. Brazilian striker Sergio Santos. All right, so you got some goals there. Union also welcomes back the return of the youngest backline in the league with young stars from Philly, Austin Trusty, Mark McKenzie. They're in full form, all right, returning from the national team camp. You still got Alejandro Bedoya, Jamaican goal sensation Andre Blake. They're back for the year, so expect the big things. We can't wait to get back down to Talen Energy Stadium. The River End's going to be rocking. You got to catch a game down there Saturday, March 2nd, 1 o'clock. We'll be down there cheering on the Union. Get your tickets for the opener while they're still available online. PhiladelphiaUnion.com.
What up?
All right. Let's sit tight for 1 second on the Joe stuff and the Sixers. We got another update on Bryce Harper. All right, now this is John Morosi. He does work for Fox and the MLB Network. And this is him just moments ago on the MLB Network talking about the future of Bryce Harper.
The best story this morning on the topic, MLB.com, Mark Feinsand, Todd Zielecki, Jamal Collier, very good reporting there. And I think the key part of that story is that, according to their sources, the Nationals right now are not inclined to approach that $300 million offer that they first gave to Harper back in the fall and the one that Machado basically signed with the Padres. So that right now is a very key bit of information that suggests that the Nationals may well be receding from the competition here to sign Harper, which leaves their divisional rivals, the Phillies, in as strong of a position as they have ever been to sign Bryce Harper. I was in Scottsdale yesterday with the Giants. I did not get the sense, Robert, that they were imminently moving toward a deal with Bryce Harper. The White Sox, maybe they make a regrouping effort here after missing out on Machado to sign Harper. But at the moment, Robert, it appears to me that the overwhelming favorite to sign Bryce Harper is the Philadelphia Phillies.
Get excited!
Why isn't it done? If you're the only ones with any kind of money, and Bob Nightingale, yesterday, texted him during the snowstorm. Philly's the only one got money. Only one. Then why isn't it done? Why isn't it done? They're the only ones with money. They're the only ones close to that can pay him whatever. The thing that scares me is that the more time lapses, and believe me, I hope John Morosi's right, that all these other teams are like, I don't know, Barkham, we made our big signing. We don't have the Nationals just saying to Bryce, we don't have $300 million. But you want to go shorter term, we got a sizable payday for you. Giants, you want to go shorter term, not the 10. Meanwhile, the Phillies are sitting there with a 10-year deal saying, take my money. Please take my money. And they're not taking it yet. Like, what are they waiting for?
Well, that's what I thought from the very beginning. I thought it would be a 3-year. I thought he would do a 3-year deal first and then get that 10-year deal after that. I know it would be nice to just get 10 years right away. If I'm Bryce Harper, I'd probably do that. But maybe he can do 3 years for not $300 million, obviously, and go back to the Nationals, try to win one time with those three pitchers, and then you do the whole thing all over again 3 years from now.
See, that's
I really hope that's not the case.
See, that's what scares me. With every passing moment, what scares me about the whole situation is that. Because I don't, nothing's really changed. The Phillies have always had the most money. Yesterday, the narrative was, well, he's nearly not looking for, you really don't want to play in Philadelphia. You know, those people close to him say that he's reticent about playing in Philadelphia. I mean, the Phillies are the one with money. And my biggest fear is exactly what you said, that there's a part of him. See, I don't think it's Gabe Kapler. I don't think it's, it might be pressure. Some people, but my boy Nightingale, Bob, said it was pressure.
Do you see that?
Big deal.
Don't you see Bryce Harper being a competitor, though? I don't see Bryce Harper being the guy that says,
I agree with you. What I thought all along, like, again, this is just me reading tea leaves. I thought all along that there is some sort of loyalty to the Nationals organization and that he doesn't want to come to the rival. Like, you know, he's really good friends with Jason Wirth. You know, Jason Wirth goes, don't go to the Phillies, dude. Why go to the Phillies? Like, I don't understand, you got paid and I got paid to come down here. And you're going to get paid, but, you know, come back here. Yeah, you can sign that 10-year deal, like you said, in 3 years. I don't know. That's my biggest fear.
Because
if you want to cash out now and sign the biggest deal in the history of baseball, there's only one team that's going to give it to you.
Right, now's the time to do it. Now, I know Buster Olney the other day said, well, he had heard, sources told him that Bryce wants to be in a lineup that can win right now. And the Phillies do have that lineup. They don't have the pitching yet. I think the Phillies have a better overall lineup than the Nationals, even though the Nationals lineup isn't that bad. I know you and I talked about that yesterday. If you were to pick one through eight batting lineup, you take Phillies over the Nationals. But then again, look at that starting pitching.
Who's their rate? Do me a favor. Pull up their depth chart. Because I can give you, I know, Zimmerman, Soto's a stud. We'll go through theirs. I like the center fielder. Got a lot of speed. Trey, what's his face? he's got a lot of speed. He's got a little pop. Go through it, and we'll compare and contrast. But let me get to Vinny first. Vinny in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do you say, Vin?
Bill, hey, what's going on, yo?
What's cracking?
I think nothing much. I think with Junju being out, I want to see more Ben Simmons take over the team next couple of the games. See how he work out. See how he able to run a team without Joe being on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, they should be able to beat.
He is an all-star, right?
Yes, yes, but you know what I'm saying. I'm more afraid of long-term. I want those five to play together because if you're going to get out of the East and you're going to beat Boston, it's about those five.
No doubt. But it's going to be time when Embiid got to sit and Simmons going to have to show up.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'm anxious to see how he's going to play. I don't want to see no 6 and 5 points and all that. And I want to see an aggressive guy taking, you know, getting his. Like, I don't want to see that passive stuff he be doing. Like, you know.
Now, I know. I hear you. And I know you've been critical of him.
I want to see. He got his time.
No, I feel you. I think it's fair. Do you remember the Golden State game? Like, I saw that game, and I saw him flex. Like, he's the one that belonged on the floor against that team. And I just need to see that on a nightly basis. Would you agree?
Right. I wouldn't really agree.
You didn't see that? Did you watch that game?
I watched the game, but it was... Wasn't doing nothing.
Golden State.
I just want to see how he don't shoot jumps, how he passes aggressive.
He's not going to shoot this year. He's not going to like turn into a shooter.
I don't think he will ever turn into a shooter.
Well, I mean, we got to give it some time.
Yeah, you'll be saying this for the next couple of years. Let's just see what he do these next couple of games. Like, I want to, he's the guy, the second All-Star. Ain't no excuses. Big Joe is out. Let's see. That's the same thing Joe's saying in his head. Trust me. Joe, like, okay, you got another All-Star. Let him play.
Yeah.
Because pretty much they do what they, Joe would do. Look at Joe do what he wants. He hang around with the owners and all that. Like, this guy don't got no checks and boundaries on that team.
Well, but again, you're right. But he's got to, like, that's where somebody on that coaching staff's got to go, Joe, you're not playing. You got to save your knee.
Like who? Who going to do it?
Somebody needs to do it. I mean, somebody needs to do it. Like, right or wrong.
They're not going to say nothing. Like,
but you got to, but you can't allow it to happen because here's what happens. It's a terrible look that he's not playing, that he plays in the All-Star game, he's missing games.
But you bang him, listen, and it's a terrible look when you got a guy on your team that don't shoot, and you're not telling everybody on the team sees this, dog.
Come on, like, brother. You're hating too much. You're hating. Listen, I get you. I know he can't shoot right now. He does so many other things. I don't know. Are we really arguing Ben Simmons now? I don't argue Ben Simmons right now. I mean, I think if you watch, if you honestly watch that Golden State game, you saw a guy that truly belonged on the floor that night. He was aggressive to the rim. He got everybody involved. I know they didn't have Klay Thompson, but man, you know, they played well that night.